On Tuesday's front page, the Supreme Court agreed to hear a challenge to the 2010 healthcare overhaul. The justice's ruling could rock the political landscape in the middle of the 2012 campaign. The army of volunteers that helped elect Barack Obama in 2008 may not be as passionate this time around. And what's in a name behind writer Salman Rushdie's complaints about Facebook? That's the question. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the Supreme Court said it will hear arguments on the 2010 healthcare overhaul. Times reporter Adam Liptak says the announcement amounted to a timetable for a case that could define the court's legacy under Chief Justice John Roberts.
The court scheduled an extraordinary 5.5 hours of argument, which is a signal that this is a really big case, one that will define the administration and also decide an epic clash between 26 states and the federal government over the very nature of federal power. So quite a lot turns on this. The central issue in the case is whether Congress overstepped its constitutional authority by enacting a part of the law known as the individual mandate, sometimes called the minimum coverage provision, which requires everybody, almost everybody, to buy health insurance or face a tax penalty. And one of the questions, the second question for the court, is if it should strike down the mandate, what other parts of the law must fall, a legal concept known as severability. So quite a lot turns on this. On the other hand, if the court upholds the mandate and the law goes into effect, it will be a fundamental change in the way Americans pay for and consume health care.
Times reporter Adam Liptak in Washington. Tuesday's Times also says that when it comes to the healthcare system, there may be no going back. No matter what the Supreme Court decides, healthcare in America has changed in ways that can't be undone. Doctors and hospitals are counting on federal subsidies and expanded coverage to bring in new patients. They'd offset cutbacks in other federal programs. What will happen to 30 million uninsured people if the court strikes down the law is an open question. Times reporter Anthony Shadid says the Persian Gulf nation of Qatar is forcing a shift in Arab politics. Qatar proved decisive in isolating Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. It also helped bring down Libyan leader Muammar al-Qaddafi, and it offered to mediate in Yemen. But even its allies aren't sure what Qatar's intentions are. Some see a Napoleon complex, others worry about an Islamist agenda. The army of campaign volunteers that worked for Barack Obama in 2008 isn't ready to get back into the trenches. Interviews across the country indicate college-age supporters from 2008 will still vote for him, but students like Emma Guerrero, who volunteered in Nevada, say they don't have the same passion this time around. She says she's not blaming him for Nevada's 13.6% unemployment, but she says he hasn't addressed the concerns of the young people who helped him get elected. Tuesday's Times says NBA players rejected the league's latest offer and moved to disband the union. Players Association Executive Director Billy Hunter made the announcement after a four-hour meeting with player representatives from all 30 teams. Times reporter Howard Beck says any chance for reviving the basketball season now rests with the courts. Writer Salman Rushdie went on Twitter complaining Facebook had demanded proof of identity and then turned him into Ahmed Rushdie. That's how he's identified on his passport, but he's never used his first name, and he wondered if Facebook would have made J. Edgar Hoover go by the name John Hoover. Times reporter Samini Sengupta says it was another skirmish in what's known online as the NIM Wars, that's short for pseudonym. On one side are Facebook and Google+, which insist on real names. Another side believes in the right to call yourself what you want so you can say or buy what you want without fear of repercussions. Inside Tuesday's Times, police in riot gear cleared out the anti-Wall Street encampment in Oakland, California. The early morning raid came amid complaints about health and safety problems at protest camps around the country. Oakland Mayor Gene Kwan said the camp had to go before, in her words, more people got hurt. Tuesday's Times says there's a move to end medical research on chimpanzees. A major push by advocacy groups could bring a decision to stop lab experiments they say are cruel and unnecessary. The Humane Society and the Wildlife Conservation Society want captive chimps declared endangered. wild chimps already are. Congressman Roscoe Bartlett of Maryland wants to go further. He wants to ban research on chimps and gorillas. He says that would save $30 million a year. It's been 3 months since Stephen Sondheim rocked the theater world by criticizing the planned revival of Porgy and Bess. Now, director Diane Paulus and producer Jeffrey Richards say they've moved on. The new upbeat ending that Sondheim didn't like is gone, but Ms. Paulus is clear she and her team were responsible for the changes, not Sondheim. Regis Philbin is leaving his syndicated morning show at the end of the week. All told, he's put in 17,000 hours on TV. That's more than anyone else in the history of broadcasting. Philbin says he'll take some time off and then look for a way to add to those record-setting hours. He says if Saturday Night Live calls, that would be irresistible. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. This year, the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund is celebrating its 100th anniversary. You can read about what the Neediest Cases Fund has done for people in the New York area who need help. Go to nytimes.com/neediest. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.